This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise.
Question time on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise. Our listeners, Hutchie, have inundated us, as we would fully expect, with the Bruce McAvaney and the race to replace Bruce McAvaney. There are so many questions.
We're all a bit tired of the topic, Damo, so ping through them and we'll answer them.
We'll combine a lot. Ben Byrne, Sean Campbell, Benny Williams, Judy Kelly, Squeaky 21, John Stevens, Jacob Town. There are so many questions on this issue. We've discussed it in the
main
body of
the Sounding
Board.
We'll go one for one with you. You go first.
Well, let's just combine a couple of thoughts here. Anthony Hutson, is he under consideration, Hutchie?
He's contracted to Fox until the end of the deal, I would think.
Will BT instigate a coup if he isn't the actual number one replacement, asks Squeaky 21.
He's not known for taking things super well. He's a competitor. But I think his role is and will remain as it is.
Eddie Maguire, again, similar to what you just said with Hutto, contracted clearly to Foxtel. Would he now consider himself to be in the running? Maybe not this year, but next year, Hutchie. It's an interesting question, that one, because he's not conflicted like he once was, Eddie.
There'll be a few who are looking at a run post the transition year.
Really?
Yep.
Post this season?
Well, there'll be a few coaches with other clubs hoping that the Kevin Sheedy replacement gets a Matthew Knights-like year.
I can see Eddie observing this from afar and putting himself into the conversation. This is one we've been going on with for some time, and Roger Byron on Facebook addresses it. The warming of Brian, it's been in full swing for a few years now. How have your employers tried to change the both of us over the years to make us more appealing to the audience, Hutchie? We need a makeover.
Too far down the totem pole, I would have thought, Damo.
I think we're done.
And my days of being warm on television never existed in the first place, and they're unfixable.
And
so we're the least of your concerns, right?
And the listeners on this program, as you've said now for a number of years, if they don't like what you say, well, you don't care either.
Yeah, no, I don't think either of us were whacked with the charisma stick when we were kids, Roger.
Unfortunately, that's true. There's a couple of questions about us, Archie. They're not meant to be about us.
Read them out. Negative, obviously.
At our respective peaks, who was the better journalist? This is from Glenn DeJong.
Damien.
No.
25, 30 years.
I'm not even saying this condescending like you are. You by a mile, Hutchie. Absolutely by a mile.
Damien by as far as you can kick your hat.
Absolutely not. Why have media outlets not named and shamed the Liberal staffer in question? And I think people know who we're referring to. That's from Liam Burns on Facebook.
Yeah, it crossed my mind too. Do you have any insight into that?
I must admit, I did. If you try and line it up with how this potential story may have been covered if it was a sports story.
Yeah.
And I reckon there'd be a section of the sports/AFL industry that would have sought desperately and probably would have by now
been
named.
Yeah, it'd be named on it. It must be a legal consequence, is it?
Yeah, I would think so. Again, we've discussed these topics sort of regularly along the run, and you've got to weigh everything up. I wouldn't want to be the person to name said person for a number of reasons, not taking any form of judgment on what's going on. But the ramifications for naming would be immense for whoever may do it, and you need to take it all in. When seeking intel for a story, and this is from Andrew Dowling, is it often the source that initiates the request for anonymity, or are journos too quick to offer this to bait free flow of information, knowing they can simply use phrases like "I'm reliably informed" or "a senior club official has confirmed"? Andrew, personally, I hate using or loathe using those two phrases, but I get the gist of your question. I think you've hit a reasonably pertinent question here in 2021. Look. Ideally, you want someone on record, don't you, Archie? That's the starting point. But ideal world doesn't exist on 99 days out of 100, I reckon. So you don't get that. So you work backwards. How can you get the information to the line? If it means you've got to go off record and use that person in that way, well, you do in the end.
I know I sound like an old broken down hack when I talk about techniques of journalism. But one thing I see young journalists fall in the habit of is offering anonymity too early in the discussion.
Yep.
It's always going to be there with you at the end. That never goes. If the last thing that you need to do is offer anonymity. You know that there is there a minute before you hang the phone up.
Yep.
Or before you write the story. So hold, and seek to publish the person's name who is providing the quotes to the story.
Yep.
Until which point you absolutely can't. And then if it's worth it or if there's a reason for it, then offer it. But a lot of people say, now you don't have to be, I'm not going to quote you on this, or you don't, I've been on the end of those calls too sometimes. Not going to quote you on this, or it's off the record, or it's offered too willingly sometimes.
Yeah.
Hold.
It's gone half circle. Every conversation I had, I'm going to say every 99 out of 100, it's just assumed they're off the record now. Like, you don't even have that conversation. And the person I'm speaking to would be shocked if he or she thought it was on the record.
Well, just because you've got trust, you've done it for 25 years and protected the people you've written about. So people trust you. That's why that is.
But it doesn't help getting some stories of the line, though, does it, ultimately?
That's why I think it's, you know, the best strategy is to assume the opposite.
Yeah. We'll go to Richard Knight now on Facebook. The purposes of the Amazon documentary on the AFL, is it to gain international viewers or is it to reinforce its strength in its home market? I think it's just to expose the game to a very different form of broadcast. I don't know whether the people or the organisations like Amazon are going to gain a lot out of the international potential out of an AFL documentary.
The objective, Richard, is to grow the Amazon Prime brand in Australia and use AFL as a means to help enable that. The objective of the AFL is to get Amazon interested in the game. So that's why, I mean, the AFL couldn't not do that deal. Like, if the world's biggest company or media company or retailer wants the documentary on the AFL, you just got to find a way to get it done, and you got to get through Telstra and Fox. I mean, imagine those in early calls.
I don't know how they got it through. Yeah. And then they lucked out with the, when it comes to the storytelling, the COVID-19 lockdown. Those stories have become enhanced as a result of that. Have you seen it yet?
The
documentaries?
I've seen the clips. You've seen them, haven't you?
No, I haven't. No, yep. I haven't. I wouldn't mind seeing them.
I can't wait. I reckon it'll be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. All right, that's question time for this week on the sounding board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board Questions with Hutchie and Damo. Send us your questions via Twitter or Facebook at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.